Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Each week during the season, Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Hawks football with a look back to the past Saturday's game and a glance ahead to what's coming up. The show is broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and you're invited to be part of the action. Now, let's get the latest on the Monmouth Hawks from Matt and Coach Cal.
And a very good Tuesday evening here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show for a Tuesday in late October, getting set for a matchup this coming weekend as the Hawks will travel out to Pittsburgh for the first of two trips out to Western PA this year with Robert Morris, the game on the schedule to wind things down. Monmouth will head into that game 3-4 overall against the Dukes, 2-2 in the Northeast Conference. Monmouth off a loss on Saturday afternoon. Disappointing loss to Bryant, 27-24. Matt Harmon, your host for tonight's activity. We've got a busy, busy show tonight. Mike McLafferty stopping by, the senior tight end. Pat O'Hara, the junior defensive lineman. Joe Johnson, the freshman defensive back from Manchester Township. And King Rice, the Monmouth University head basketball coach, will come by, talk a little bit about Mac Madness coming up tomorrow and NEC Media Day, which took place today. The head coach of the Hawks in his 20th year is, of course, seated to my right, Kevin Callahan. Coach, on Tuesday now, a couple days removed from, I know, what was a stinging loss and a disappointing loss in terms of the overall scope of the season. How are the, I'll start with, how are the players doing, and then we can get into the ins and outs of the game just a little bit, because we do have a busy show tonight.
Well, I think they're doing a lot better. I certainly like the bounce and the excitement that was out at practice today. You know, they're certainly all very disappointed. It was a very, very quiet locker room after the game on Saturday. Everybody on our team knows that to keep our chances for a championship or a share of a championship alive, we had to basically win out in our NEC games. And you know, that we didn't do on Saturday. So there was a level of disappointment there, and I addressed that disappointment on Sunday at our meeting and really made a point of, you know, we can't control anything that's behind us. We can only control the things that are in front of us. And we do have four very winnable games in front of us, and that's where I want their focus. And judging by today's practice, I thought that's where our focus was.
27-24, the final score in what was a packed house at Kessler Field on Saturday afternoon. That was the good. The tough was another kind of disappointing loss in terms of Monmouth at one point had a lead in the fourth quarter, 24-21, and the last 8 minutes, Coach, of that game after Monmouth had went up by three on a run from Kyle Frazier, a second touchdown run of the season, of the game, was one of the strangest 8 minutes of anything I've ever seen.
It was an exciting 8 minutes for the fans, I'll say. Not so much maybe for the coaches on either sideline. But you're right. We put together a 92-yard drive and scored to take the lead. And at that point, I felt very good. I felt very confident in our ability to win the game. You know, we Bryant put a drive together, broke a long run on a third and short play, and then got the ball down to about the 10-yard line. Our defense did a great job holding them there, forced them into a field goal situation, which was wide right. We still had the lead. There's 5 minutes left in the game, and we have an unfortunate interception off a deflected pass, and you know, gave them again the ball on about the 10-yard line, which they eventually scored from. But I will say this: you know, we get the ball back, we go out, and Kyle Frazier has to come out of the game because of a shoulder injury. Craig Peterson comes in and does everything in his power to launch a pass that we catch at midfield to give us a chance. You know, so our guys battled the entire time. You know, we were all just looking for a better outcome.
I heard, you know, through the grapevine a little bit, it was a shoulder injury for Frazier, maybe popped out but then popped back in. Was there ever a thought, as there was some discussion, to just leaving Peterson in the game, or at that point when you see Kyle say it's back in, if that was the case, if his shoulder did pop out and pop back in, do you trust in that he knows that he can try and go in and get the job done?
Well, I do. And, you know, while we're very confident in what Craig can do and his ability to lead our offense, and Craig had done a good job, as I mentioned, he made a desperation throw on fourth down to give us the ball at midfield. It was a second down play, and Kyle comes up to me on the sideline and said, "Coach, I'm good to go." When your quarterback tells you he's good to go, I said, "Go on in." And, you know, we threw three incompletions after that. Not sure to what extent the shoulder bothered those throws, if it did at all. And then that's where they were able to kneel on the ball after that.
I know the tough part of the day, a little bit twofold. The slow start, as Brian had taken a 14-3 lead at the half. And unfortunately, in some of the games that Monmouth has lost this year, Cornell, Lafayette, I'll take Albany kind of out of the mix. But three of the four games, I think, there just hasn't necessarily been that spark to start the game. And sometimes you just don't have really an answer for it. You've been at the coaching game since 1977, and sometimes you just don't really know.
That's very true. And we've tried all types of different things. And, you know, in three of the four losses, as you said, you know, we did get off to a slow start. We put ourselves in a hole only to come, you know, furiously from behind, put ourselves in a position to win at Lehigh. You know, we had two opportunities in the fourth quarter while traveling by 3 points at Cornell. Much similar situation to the Lehigh game. Actually took the lead in the early fourth quarter. And then this game, you know, took the lead and then had the turnover that set up the winning score for Bryant. And, you know, we talk to our guys all the time about starting fast and finishing. And, you know, in the locker room and the pregame meal, and before all of those games, I wouldn't say there was anything that I could detect to say, uh-oh, we're not ready to start this game. I think our weeks of preparation leading into all those games have been very good. I liked our team attitude, our demeanor, and our intensity prior to the game. And I don't know. I guess that's the one thing that I got to figure out. That's a $64 million question right there.
As we talked last week in our preview segment about the game, we knew that Brian had certainly some big play capability, and we saw that on display a little bit. Jordan Brown had a good game, 152 yards. Jordan Harris, a couple of touchdown catches. Now, this is certainly not to throw an excuse at you, because I think you're going to deflect it back to me, because every team at this point of the season is probably beat up and banged up. But the defensive side of the ball has certainly been more beset by injuries than offensively or even special teams or any other unit. Has that been a big cause of maybe the defensive woes that have taken place the last 3 weeks?
Well, you know, as you said, I'm not going to, you know, put our performance or lack of performance in critical situations solely on the injury thing, because I think everybody has injuries, especially at this point in the year. We have different people playing. There's a different chemistry on the field. There's different guys in the mix than there were in there 4 weeks ago. And I'm sure.
Hey, man, here, have a Coke Zero. I don't watch the game without it.
Okay.
With Coke Zero, I can have real Coke taste and zero calories. If they can do that, then what else is possible?
How about a quarterback who throws touchdown passes
and then catches them himself in the end zone?
He throws it deep.
Wait, he catches his own pass. Touchdown. Weird.
Like cheerleaders who cheer
and deliver sandwiches.
Someone wanted sandwiches!
I love your sandwiches.
Coke Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
The Asbury Park Press brings the Monmouth and Ocean County sports scene to life. Only the Asbury Park Press covers local teams, players, and schools like the Monmouth Hawks, both on and off the field. For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the press. To subscribe to the Asbury Park Press, give them a call at 1-800-822-9779 or visit app.com/subscribe. The Asbury Park Press, your news any way you want it, wherever you are. Hey, Monmouth University! Sonic Drive-In is now open just minutes away from campus in Tinton Falls. Sonic burgers, breakfast burritos, tots, onion rings, real ice cream, hot dogs, and thousands of drink flavors are only 15 minutes away. All drinks and slushes are half price every day from 2 to 4 p.m. Bring your ticket stub from today's game to the Tinton Falls Sonic. Buy one burger and you'll get one for free. Open until midnight, the Tinton Falls Sonic is located right off Route 35 in the A&P Shopping Center.
Need to charter a bus for school trips, concerts, sporting events, or more? Call Suburban Transit, a Coach USA company. It's the official bus company of Monmouth University Athletics and has offered the finest charter bus service available with safety, luxury, and reliability for over 50 years. New state-of-the-art buses will make your trip relaxing and enjoyable, so don't delay. To charter a bus, call Suburban Transit today, 800-222-0492, or visit online at suburbantransit.com. Suburban Transit, driven with pride.
We are back here from Jack's goal line stand. Apologize for the quick technical glitch. Hopefully we've got that worked out. Matt Harmon back here with the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan, just wrapping things up from Saturday against Bryant. We were talking a bit about the big play capability of Bryant and Mama's tough struggles as of late defensively. Coach, I'll throw one more question at you before we'll bring our first guest up in Mike McLafferty. I know even in a loss, this may be difficult to talk about, but the crowd on Saturday was something that certainly was a positive to take out of the game.
It was an awesome crowd, and they made a lot of noise. They were loud. They were very into the game. They stayed until the very end, and I think that, it was something great to see. And, we finally had a great day on homecoming. It was a beautiful day. The game day atmosphere and the tailgating was awesome, so I'm told. And it was great to see that many people in the stands.
Well, we're being joined right now by our first guest of the night. He is a senior tight end, off to another good start this year after being a big part of the offense the last couple years. It is Mike McLafferty, the 6'6", 255-pound senior from Morgan, New Jersey. Michael, good to see you. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the show. Coach and I kind of talking a bit about last week and the loss to Bryan, which I know was a disappointment for you guys on many levels, and maybe you can tell me which one of these kind of sticks out more so than the other. Number one, back at home in front of a big crowd. I know that's obviously disappointing to lose when you hadn't been home for a while. Homecoming, conference game, and now you guys are in a little bit of a struggle having lost three games in a row.
Yeah, I mean, well, anytime we came out, we saw how big of a crowd we had. We didn't really want to come out. We had a really slow start to begin, which was, it put us in a hole, and we almost had to play perfect from there and out. And, you know, we almost did, but we can't really come out flat like we did at home with that crowd. And that's what really stuck out to me the most.
Your numbers so far this year, 16 catches, 129 yards with a touchdown as well. And anytime we've had somebody on offensively, we talked obviously a bit about so many weapons and so much balance that the team has offensively at this point of the year, now seven games in. Do you feel like the offense is going in the direction that maybe you had anticipated at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think we're heading in the right direction. We're seeing a lot of tough defenses recently. But like you said, we have so many weapons, and at my position, tight end, we have three guys that are ready to play. And at the wide receiver position, we have four or five guys that can step up and make plays. So I think our offense is definitely heading in the right direction.
Coach, this one for you. Mike has been a player that has really developed in his time here at Monmouth. Now in his fourth year with the program, redshirted as a freshman, played in all 11 games as a sophomore, played in all 11 games last year as a junior, has started multiple games when Monmouth comes out in a two tight end set, and plays a ton of plays because of the offensive package that is normally in line. He's really, I would have to think, he's developed the way that you guys envisioned when you first recruited him.
He has, and, as you know, Mike was a high school quarterback, and that's something that, you know, with that position, it's kind of uncanny that we've got three guys in the position, all who are high school quarterbacks and all who made the transition to playing with their hand on the ground and being a tight end. And, you know, Mike brings to the position the athleticism, the ability to go get the ball in the pass game. You know, the blocking is something that he's worked on in each of the years that he's been here. And, you know, he's still working on that in an area where he's going to continue to improve. But he's gotten pretty solid in that as well.
Mike, obviously, so far this year, a bit of an up and down. If you had to point to one thing, and maybe that's too difficult to even say, what has gone wrong since the team started 3-1, and there was so much momentum and so much positive output, even in the loss to Lehigh to start the season, that's kind of now spurred this three-game losing streak?
I don't know if I can really point to one thing that's gone wrong, but I know in all the games that we've lost, we haven't really played a full game. We've either come out strong and haven't really finished, or we've come out flat and just didn't have enough time to come back in a game. So I think that should be our focus for the rest of the year, the last four games. Just try and play a full game, come out strong. And Coach has been saying a lot recently, just be able to finish teams when you're up on them, and, you know, don't back down.
I would imagine it's been, you know, a bit of a disappointment the last couple of weeks for sure, because in each of the last two losses, Cornell last week and Bryant this past week, you know, even with slow starts and maybe some sloppy play here or there, there's been fourth quarter leads that the other team has been able to come back on your defense and maybe offensively ineffective a little bit to try to close the game out. So I can certainly understand what you're saying there. Where does this team go right now? And, you know, you're probably getting a bulk of the tough questions tonight of the three players that we have. Number one, because you're the first guy on, and number two, because you're a senior and you've seen a lot of it already. But with four games left in the season can go one of two ways. It can be a rallying cry, hey, we can still be 7-4 and say that we had a pretty good season, maybe not what we had anticipated, or everyone says, you know, what time is, you know, November 17th when we're done at Robert Morris, how quick can we get on the bus? Where do you see this team going?
I mean, there's no doubt we're really disappointed with the last couple of weeks, but we can't keep thinking about that, because if we think about the disappointment that we had, then we're going to finish with a bad year. And I think we're too talented of a group to finish with a bad year of, you know, under 500. So we're just trying to look ahead, not get too down about, you know, this one loss. And we know the NEC is crazy. Anything can happen. Any team could beat any team. We've seen that over the past couple of years. So we're just trying to take it one game at a time and finish the season 4-0.
Coach, I think I asked you this when we had Tyler George on a couple weeks back. When you recruited Mike, I mean, the thought of him playing quarterback probably wasn't much of the discussion. It was more of, hey, we like this guy. He's a good athlete, a good football player. Let's get him here and then kind of figure it out. Or was the plan already in place? He's going to be a tight end.
It was pretty much in place. He was going to be a tight end. I think, you know, Mike knew that during the recruitment process. I remember when he came on his official visit with his mother, and, you know, the three of us sat down on Sunday morning before he went home, and we talked about just that, you know, that was going to be the position we had him slotted for, and we talked about all the positives that we felt he brought to that position and how he could develop into a quality player there. And I think we even mentioned the fact that, you know, Tyler George was doing the same thing at the time, just a year ahead of him. And, you know, it's worked out very well. You know, Mike's worked very hard at improving his craft and in becoming a better tight end. We know he's somebody that we can certainly rely on.
Mike, how much of transition, I know it's a huge transition from high school to college anyway, but from quarterback to tight end to make, I think the one thing that I've always really noticed about you is you have an unbelievable set of hands. Now, that might have been whether you were going to be a tight end in high school and you just carried it through into college, but how much of playing quarterback and having your hands on the ball all the time has maybe helped you be a pretty good pass catcher here at the college level?
Yeah, that's definitely a help. Our quarterbacks on our team always joke around, and they say they have the best hands on the team, which I always argue. But, I mean, having hands, I think it's just a matter of just being focused. It's not really who has better hands. If you're focused on the ball, you're gonna catch it. But I wouldn't say it's a skill type of thing, you know.
Quiet room. Now some fun questions. Quiet room. It's you, Tyler, and Ruane, right? So we've got all the classes kind of represented, and you guys are kicking some stories around. Yeah. Who's the best quarterback out of the three of you?
Oh, it's me.
You?
Yeah.
You're the best thrower, best runner, or just best quarterback?
Thrower. We always joke around, like, before practice, throwing the ball around, and Tyler just can't even throw the ball anymore. He said he doesn't have it. And me and Evan have a couple competitions here and there to have fun, but yeah, I would go myself.
Where would you sit on the depth chart right now at quarterback among the five or six guys that are a quarterback playing at Monmouth right now?
Be careful with this one.
I would be seventh.
That was probably a good answer, right? I got to make sure that I keep getting the football.
Or else he wouldn't be getting the ball anymore.
I'll accept it.
Wouldn't be getting the ball anymore at all. So long trip going out to Pittsburgh this week. Maybe Mike, a good time, you know, after not being home, but then a disappointment at home against Bryan. Maybe good to go back on the road this week and kind of refocus and get away from everything and try to start to put the season back together.
Yeah, absolutely. Duquesne's a really good opponent, so we're really looking forward to this game to kind of put last week behind us and really trying to finish the season strong.
9-3 as a senior quarterback that last year. You played in a state final, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Didn't go well.
Played in a state final. Notice I didn't say win a state final. Mike, appreciate you swinging by, giving us a couple minutes. Enjoy the food here at Jack's Goal Line Stand. You're off the hook for the rest of the night. Great stuff as always.
Thank you for having me.
Good job, Mike.
That's Mike McLafferty, the senior tight end from Morgan, New Jersey. Went to War Memorial High School and played in a state final. Big part of the offense here at Monmouth the last few years as a tight end. We'll step out, take a 2-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by our next guest. We'll swap across the other side of the line and talk things over with junior defensive lineman Pat O'Hara. All right after this quick break. 2-minute timeout. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
The Monmouth Hawks are leaders on the field, just as Barnabas Health is New Jersey's healthcare leader. Barnabas Health has New Jersey covered with great facilities all over the state, including Monmouth Medical Center and Children's Hospital in Long Branch, Kimball Medical Center in Lakewood, and the Behavioral Health Center and Community Medical Center in Toms River. Premier Healthcare is one call or click away at 1-888-724-7123 or barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary.
Top It Frozen Yogurt Bar is the official frozen dessert of Monmouth University Athletics and the sponsor of Hawkstars, MU Athletics' new kids club, with two great locations at 638 Ocean Avenue in Long Branch and on Main Street in Freehold. Top It invites you to treat yourself nice today with their delicious frozen yogurt and fresh toppings. Present your game ticket at the counter and receive 10% off of your order. And keep your eyes open around Monmouth's campus for their new Yogurt Mobile, a fully functioning, on-the-go frozen yogurt supplier. Visit them online at topitnj.com. Bob and Marianne's Lifestyle Expo, the original senior expo, is back Monday, October 29th at the Ocean County Mall on Hooper Avenue in Toms River, presented by Ocean Medical Center, a member of the Meridian Health family. Come at 8 a.m. and visit us at Center Court for Bob and Marianne's live broadcast, free breakfast, and to register for bingo and a chance to win up to $500 cash. You could also enter for your chance to win $250. Drawings will take place at 11:30 and 12:30. Must be present at time of drawing to win. Get your flu shot at the expo from Ocean Health Initiatives while supplies last. Made possible by Caring Heart and Brain Imaging of Wall. You must have a valid photo ID. The vaccine free with a valid Medicare Part B card. Visit with local businesses. Get health screenings. Sell your gold or get your jewelry appraised right at the expo, courtesy of Nationwide Gold and Estate Buyers. And more. Bob and Marianne's Lifestyle Expo, the original senior expo, Monday, October 29th at the Ocean County Mall on Hooper Avenue in Toms River. Sponsored in part by Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield and Bellaterra. Visit WOBMAM.com for details.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
And we welcome you back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End from 7 to 8 o'clock. We do this each and every Tuesday night. Matt Harmon, Kevin Callahan, good segment with Mike McLafferty. And now we'll switch gears, talk a little defense, and happy to have on the show right now from Pennsylvania the junior Patrick O'Hara, heading back to his home state this week. You know, talk about these Pennsylvania guys every once in a while. I don't get it. I mean, that is a huge state with just massive amounts of land and space. Are you looking forward to crossing state lines and going back out to Pennsylvania this week?
Yeah, it'll be nice to be back in PA. I mean, we have a few games there every year, so it's always nice to come back home a little bit, a little closer for my family to come out. But it's always nice to get back, I guess, to the stomping grounds where it all started.
Now, where you went to school was more kind of Philadelphia-based, but I would imagine that even that, you know, hour plus a little bit more west does probably make it easy for you to have family go out and see the game this weekend.
Yeah, I think a couple of my grandparents will probably come, maybe an uncle or so will be able to stop by. So it'll be nice to have them there since they can't always make some of the farther trips, like the New York games, like Albany and stuff like that. So it'll be pretty cool to have them in the stands and everything.
All right, so in now your third year as a collegiate football player, sat out your first year, redshirted, saw some pretty good time last year, and now have kind of worked your way into starter and major rotation guy in that defensive line.
I'm one of the stronger guys, and being able to work with Tim, our strength trainer, and being able to get used to the strength of some of the O-linemen that you play against every week has been one of the biggest things for me, being able to just solely focus on football, lifting in the weight room, and getting better there.
Pat, what did you weigh when you came in?
I was probably I said 220. I was probably really around 210.
And you're now, you came in this year at what?
250.
6'4", 250, you're listed on the roster, which probably means you're like 6'2 and a half and maybe like 245 somewhere in there.
He's pretty close. But, you know, you can see the difference. He has put on 40 pounds of muscle in the 3 years that he's been here. Muscle that was needed for the position that he plays. But, you know, yeah, Pat mentioned, you know, the work that Tim Ream, our strength coach, does. And he was on the show a few weeks ago, and he does an excellent job with all of our guys. But when it comes down to it, it's the player's own hard work in the weight room that's gotten Pat to where he is today.
And even 250, I mean, you're not a huge guy on the defensive line. I know you usually operate more at an end spot rather than a tackle, so you're a little bit more probably of a speed guy, and I think your numbers would dictate that so far. You've been effective in the plays that you've been involved with, 2.5 sacks, 3.5 tackles for a loss, so when you do make plays, they're usually pretty big impact plays.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. I think across the line, any guy can make a play any given time the way we play, so I think that's a good thing. If I'm not going to make a play, the guy next to me can, so that's always a good thing to know. When you get your chance, though, you got to be ready to make it.
All right, so unlike Michael, when we had him on, I kind of went right after him. I've tossed you a couple of softballs. Now it's time to kind of get at you a little bit. Very simply, Pat, what has gone wrong the last couple of weeks on the defensive side of the ball from your perspective?
I think it's a combination of right away we don't come out ready to play in the beginning of the game, and then our offense will get us back in it, and then it's one of those things, fourth quarter, late in the game, we're just not there. We're not clicking. Not everybody's on the same page. So it seems we're just going to have to get back to our fundamentals and really start to focus on those things, be able to play a complete football game now.
Which does sound crazy in a way, because at 3-1, it was the defense that really carried a lot of that good play early on in the season. But the last couple weeks, it's been almost the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just one of those things. I mean, I guess that's football, but we really need to step our end of the game. It's been more on our shoulders, and we haven't been carrying our own load, it seems like.
How does the dynamics of the locker room work? I mean, I know everyone's defense probably over there, offense over there. Has there been any, I hate to say infighting, because I don't think that's really the makeup of the team that we have this year, but has there been any, you know, a little bit of discussion between the offense and the defense on the sideline in between plays? Hey, why can't you hold them off, or you guys at some point, why can't you score a couple more points? Anything like that?
There's nothing like that. It's usually one of those things, making sure, we're going to get your back, give us the ball again, we're going to score, one of those things, hey, give us the ball back, or one of those things, we kind of work together, it seems like, more encouraging, hey, we just stopped in 3-and-out, your turn, we're giving you the ball back, and same for them, hey, we're going to get them next time, just give us the ball, give us another opportunity.
So this past week, one of the league's best running backs in Jordan Brown had a pretty decent day against you guys. This week you have probably one of the other best backs in the league in Larry McCoy, who's in his senior season. Tell me a little bit about the differences between the two backs as you've watched them on film.
Well, when you look at Jordan Brown, he's more of a speed and shifty type back. He's somebody who can one-on-one, he's got the speed to break away and break a big run. When it comes to McCoy, he's more of a solid, fundamental runner. He's going to hit the hole hard. So you got to make sure you wrap up. He's going to break your arm tackles. So you really got to bring everything when you come in and tackle him.
What kind of player, coach, is Pat? Is he a pass rush guy? Is he a run stopper? I mean, as a defensive end with a guy who's got a couple of sacks, I think you'd look at it and say, well, he's a pass rush guy. You know, maybe not a ton of tackles, but, again, makes effective plays, and it seems to be in the backfield a lot.
Well, he has the ability to get across the line of scrimmage and get up the field and pressure the quarterback. He's got a very quick move, especially his outside move, and he's able to condense the pocket from the outside in. I think he's becoming an excellent run defender as well. Sometimes you get guys who maybe aren't quite as confident that they may feel they're a little undersized playing against offensive tackles, and they'll have a tendency to play too wide on sometimes and not close the way they should. And that's something that Pat's worked very hard at and has become a much better run defender in doing so.
Pat, who do you enjoy, if there is someone, working one-on-one against in practice on the Monmouth offensive line?
Probably Mike Murphy, just because he's one I see all through camp. I've seen him for 3 years straight, and he's one of the better linemen. We have a fifth-year senior, so we have our battles. He gets me once, I'll get him once, and it's one of those fun competitions where every day we're going to see each other in one-on-ones. We have that 5-10-minute period where we're going to get to go at it a little with each other, and he's going to make me a better player in both pass and run. So it's a good competition between the two.
And you're trying to do the same for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're
yeah,
trying to get him better
as
well. Final question, Pat, before we let you go. And I asked Mike kind of a similar question. Tell me how Monmouth gets things back on track. I know you gave kind of the requisite back to fundamentals on defense, mm-hmm. but is it as simple as that? Is it as simple as wrapping up and tackling and being in the right spot, or is it become now in a three-game losing streak more of a mental thing that you guys have to kind of get yourself over?
I mean, obviously, it's always going to be the fundamentals. You have to get better in your fundamentals every time. And we've seen that when you don't come in and make a tackle, there's going to be a big play. But it's also those three games that we lost, we got to forget about them. They're done with. We can't get them back now. We have four more games ahead of us that we have to focus with, starting with Duquesne. And that's the one game we're all focusing with right now to get back to work.
Well, a couple of Pennsylvania games on the schedule the last few weeks. So hopefully we got some good family support out for you this weekend. And then to wind out the season, Robert Morris as well. Pat, appreciate you coming by, giving us a couple minutes. Enjoy the food. And we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thanks again for having me.
Anytime. Thanks, Pat.
That is Pat O'Hara, the junior defensive lineman from Pennsylvania. We'll step out here and take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll talk with one of the rising stars for Monmouth and the secondary local product, Joe Johnson. We'll do that after this two-minute break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show here on the Shore Sports Network.